women and hard-eyed husbands in deluges of lethe. And the men ask, "What's the news?" as if the old were so bad. How many individuals can we count in society? How many actions? How many opinions? So much of our time is preparation. So much is routine, and so much retrospect, that the pith of each man's genius contracts itself to a very few hours. The history of literature, take the net result of Tiraboschi, Wharton, or Schlegel, is a sum of very few ideas and of very few original tales, all the rest being variation of these. So, in this great society wide lying around us, a critical analysis would find very few spontaneous actions. It is almost all custom and gross sense. There are even few opinions, and these seem organic in the speakers and do not disturb the universal necessity. What opium is instilled into all disaster? It shows formidable as we approach it, but there is at last no rough, rasping friction, but the most slippery sliding surfaces. We fall soft on a thought. Ate Dea is gentle. Over men's heads walking aloft, with tender feet treading so soft. People grieve and bemoan themselves, but it is not half so bad with them as they say. There are moods in which we court suffering, in the hope that here at least we shall find reality, sharp peaks and edges of truth. But it turns out to be scene painting and counterfeit. The only thing grief has taught me is to know how shallow it is. That, like all the rest, plays about the surface and never introduces me into the reality, for contact with which we would even pay the costly price of sons and lovers. Was it Boscovich who found out that bodies never come in contact? Well, souls never touch their objects. An innavigable sea washes with silent waves between us and the things we aim at and converse with. Grief, too, will make us idealists. In the death of my son, now more than 2 years ago, I seem to have lost a beautiful estate. No more. I cannot get it nearer to me. If tomorrow I should be informed of the bankruptcy of my principal debtors, the loss of my property would be a great inconvenience to me, perhaps for many years. But it would leave me as it found me, neither better nor worse. So is it with this calamity. It does not touch me. Something which I fancied was a part of me, which could not be torn away without tearing me nor enlarged without enriching me, falls off from me and leaves no scar. It was caduceus. I grieve that grief can teach me nothing, nor carry me one step into real nature. The Indian who was laid under a curse that the wind should not blow on him, nor water flow to him, nor fire burn him, is a type of us all. The dearest events are summer rain, and we, the paracoats that shed every drop. Nothing is left us now but death. We look to that with a grim satisfaction, saying there at least is reality that will not dodge us. I take this evanescence and lubricity of all objects, which lets them slip through our fingers then when we clutch hardest, to be the most unhandsome part of our condition. Nature does not like to be observed, and likes that we should be her fools and playmates. We may have the sphere for our cricket ball, but not a berry for our philosophy. Direct strokes she never gave us power to make. All our blows glance, all our hits are accidents. Our relations to each other are oblique and casual. Dream delivers us to dream, and there is no end to illusion. Life is a train of moods like a string of beads, and as we pass through them, they prove to be many-colored lenses which paint the world their own hue, and each shows only what lies in its focus.